Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 125-1063, the game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, and for Chase McCabe today. And joining us now, the one and only Jonathan Hutton. Jonathan Hutton is sponsored by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. Hand off the tailgate prep or cater your next event by calling your neighborhood Edley's today, online at edleysbbq.com. Hutton, the Titans taking on a red hot game against the Philadelphia Eagles, going on the road in a really rough environment. And also, oh, by the way, there's all of the off-the-field drama between A.J. Brown and the Titans. Just your initial thoughts on the game coming off of a loss against the Bengals and going into Philadelphia.
Good to be with you guys. Caroline, hello.
Hey.
It is it's a rough matchup, I think, for Tennessee, honestly. Withrow and I were joking, guys. Over under 3.5 tweets deleted by A.J. Brown postgame.
Hammer the over. Hammer it.
Over.
I'm just waiting for
if
the first
they win,
one to drop.
Over, definitely.
Because you wanna be watching your phone as the first one hits. So you see it before it gets deleted.
Yes. Or Willie, like you and I will do, we'll wait on someone to screenshot it so that we can see
right,
it.
Right, that's a little disappointing. I didn't see it right away. I had to wait for the screenshot.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to the matchup because this is, you know, another test for Tennessee to show where they are with some of the best in the league. You know, like has what we've seen throughout this season consistency, or is it consistency against teams that are not going to be facing them in the postseason? And again, it would take the Super Bowl to see Philly again, but you get my point here. This is one of, if not the best team in the league. I know many inside that organization here in Nashville feel like Philadelphia is the best team in the NFL right now, and they were saying that a couple weeks ago. So I'm eager to see how they match up and how they decide to match up defensively against what's a very talented offense and very balanced. And that's the difference in some of the, like facing Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't want to run the football. Philadelphia absolutely does.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutton, I struggle with how I think Vrabel is going to want to approach this game, because part of me thinks Vrabel's going to say, hey, AJ's with the Eagles. We're focused on our team. We're going to approach it with our game plan. We're going to win this game our way. But Vrabel also has a good bit of pettiness to him as well. So is there going to be an element of, we are going to throw the ball all over the yard and we are going to hand feed the ball to Treylon Burks so we can just say middle finger to you, AJ Brown?
Believe it or not, I think they need to throw the football this week because the problem has not been the passing game. The problem's been the run game. And, you know, the problem is they're a little light up front on the offensive line without Ben Jones. And we saw what happened whenever they're facing 340 pounds on the opposite side of a smaller offensive line than what we're used to seeing from Tennessee a week ago by the Bengals. And there were times where I thought Henry didn't do certain things. And again, I'm no expert with this, but there were other times he had no shot behind the line of scrimmage. And that's just something we don't see. The problem has been in the run game and not the pass game. And Tannehill has been fine. He was 9 of 14 on third down. He's 21 of 30 for nearly 400 yards on first down in the last three games combined. And keep in mind, that's with him on a bum ankle. and he's still spinning it well when they decide to throw on first down. And they've really found some things that I think they can build around with the passing game. But they've got to build around the passing game with a structure that is their identity. And as of late, they have not been able to get that going. We've seen flashes, but it's not been the reliable aspect of the Titans offense that you can point to. And I think a lot of it has to do not just with what – I don't think they've really ramped up the carries or touches and carries are different, but the carries for Henry have been down a bit. But it's also Ben Jones. He is needed back in a massive way. The last three games, Henry has 20 carries where he's gained either 1, 0, or negative yards. And 15 of those 20 carries have been in the last two games with Ben Jones out of the lineup. They've hit on 7 huge pass plays in that same time span, but they are not getting the push on the offensive line. And, you know, you've got Ndamukong Suh and others that are salivating if Ben Jones can't play this week.
On the other side, Hutt, I want to ask you about Jeffrey Simmons. I didn't see the domination that I've seen. I just wonder about the nuances of his ankle injury. I'm hoping that it's getting better progressively, and in another couple of weeks he's back to himself. But it looks like he's still dealing with that, even though that injury happened in the Colts game. We're talking about several weeks. But he's fought through it, and sometimes when you fight through it, it doesn't always heal as fast as you want it.
Willie, you're reading my mind. I was talking with someone about this last night, and I think part of it, too, I noticed it as well. And I think I'm noticing it more because Autry's not beside him. And I think Autry really brings a punch, that same type of aspect that they're missing from like a Ben Jones on the offensive line at center. And I think if you could get Jones and Autry back, and I'm not certain on the time frame for Autry, Jones I feel like can go. He's waiting on the clearance. And I was surprised he wasn't cleared this past week, honestly. Not to belabor the point, you're right. I mean, Simmons is playing through the ankle issue, same as Tannehill, and they've got to have both. And Simmons is the best player on their roster, top to bottom. So they need several dominant performances. Simmons needs to dominate on the interior defensive front this week against what is a very good, if not the best, offensive line in the NFL.
It's a good marker, some of these games that they're going to play, that starting with Sunday. Yeah. But because the question I think we're all asking is, can this Titans team improve enough? Because I think they still feel like they have to improve, but you're seeing some good signs of it. They've got a little cushion in the standings to kind of know that if they just win a few more games, they're at least going to be in the dance. But can they improve enough to beat the good teams in January?
Yes. Well, so it really comes down to their formula, right? Like what they did against Green Bay and what they did against Cincinnati were not the same. They had the same type of game plan. I didn't think Downing was awful against Cincinnati calling plays. He was very good in Green Bay, you know, but they dropped passes. They had just really bad penalties at times. Of course, the penalty that ended the game ultimately, but even prior to that, there were mistakes and hiccups, and Henry's even fumbling, for instance. They get that back, but still, we don't see that. That's not their winning formula because their margin for error is already slim because they're barely scoring 21 points a game. And now they're going up against the offense that can score multiple ways and a defense that's totally fine giving up a long drive and a touchdown because the offense is going to turn around and go get points again too. So I'm with you. It's a good barometer, and most of the time, the Titans find a way to pull out a win in situations like we saw against the Bengals, against other teams, because, again, they don't make the stupid penalty or have the bad time of possession, clock management, decide to kick a field goal instead of go for it, or special teams misuse, whatever. They cannot go on the road and expect to win a game like this playing that type of game. I feel like the Eagles don't have to play their best game, and they will still win football games. To me, the top teams in the league, when the Titans are facing them, they have to have a lot of things go right especially when you consider, Willie, they're not going to put up more than three and a half touchdowns at best. And right now the bar is Green Bay from what we saw, what, 10 days ago.
Coming up next, Hutton will stick around with us. What does this Titans team need to do offensively to outscore the Eagles? We'll get into that coming up next. But first, Hutton wants to tell you about Edley's Barbecue.
That's right. And Edley's Nashville-style barbecue, meat smoked low and slow, made from scratch side dishes. Brand new location, now open in Lenox Village, right there in Nolensville. So make sure you go swing by. That's now five Middle Tennessee locations for Edley's Barbecue. Perfect for lunch, for catering, for your holiday parties, big or small. Sylvan Park, East Nashville, 12 South, Donaldson, and again, now in Lenox Village. Edley's, highest quality meats. They smoke their meats in-house daily, made from scratch, delicious sides, and they're authentic to all things Southern, all things Tennessee. Nashville-style barbecue, Edley's Barbecue. Check them out online at edleysbbq.com.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, Jonathan Hutton joins us now, sponsored by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. D-Mace, take it away.
Yeah, Jonathan, the last two or three games, we may have seen some chink in armor in regards to the Tennessee Titans' pass defense.
Okay.
You know, the Bengals, T. Higgins made a few wonderful catches. We see Green Bay, they did the same thing. The Broncos had their share, you know, of big catches down the field. So this Titans team, from a defensive standpoint, from a pass defensive standpoint, especially without having DeNico Autry and a limited, not a 100% Jeffrey Simmons, are we starting to see now what this secondary truly is? Because before, you know, those three games, everyone up front was pretty much healthy, with the exception of Bud Dupree, and he's really never healthy. But at least they had their two studs in the middle, which helps with the pass defense. But now one is not playing, and the other is probably about 70 to 80%. Are we starting to see now truly this secondary and what they really are?
What I'm hearing is you think this game could end up being like Buffalo?
Absolutely, because. Because to me, okay, the secondary has done a wonderful job when Jeffrey and DeNico Autry and Tier Tart, those guys are healthy. But when those guys are not healthy, more particular, DeNico Autry and Simmons, now we're starting to see who this secondary really is.
The thing, though, man, that I understand, like, I'm following you here. Mm-hmm. They don't give up points.
Yeah, that's the saving grace when they get in the red zone.
That's really what changed the game. The Titans weren't good in the red zone, and Cincinnati did enough. But they've really performed about the same against the Bengals as they did in the playoff game defensively, I thought, D-Mace. I mean, they didn't sack Burrow nine times. But it's not like, you know, it was just a four-quarter, you know, dominant performance from Burrow either. I thought Tannehill matched him there. I do get it, though, because whenever you're going to face the balance of what we saw from Cincinnati, even more so now, I think, against Philadelphia, very efficient. They don't turn the football over. They're incredibly difficult to game plan for, because you end up chasing calls many times. In general, I think defensive coordinators are chasing calls, trying to determine what they're going to do on this RPO. And I don't think that they want Hurts carrying the football 17 times, but man, like, this guy is on a course for a true MVP season. I think it's Mahomes right now. It can absolutely be Jalen Hurts. Tua's in the mix too, and I'm going off course here, Mace. Tua's in the mix too. I don't trust Miami's offensive line, and the difference between Hurts and Tua is the offensive line, and the fact that Philly can run it, and I don't think Miami wants to even try to the same degree. And because of that, that puts secondaries in a really tough spot, many times on an island. And the Titans are a group that's much better by the sum of their parts than any one individual. And the sum of their parts need to be up front on that defensive line and on the pass rush. because that's another piece to their secondary, to your point. And that's, you know, Willie was trying to, you know, push forward on the matchups that we could see and where they're going to be come January. The first and foremost thing they've got to have is their health, mm-hmm. because there are a couple of guys that we know if they're not in, the Titans are not winning. And Simmons is definitely one of them. I'm saying for the long haul, and Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill's ingredient to the pass game should not be overlooked. Even as bad as it's been and the points, they're still not there. There's no way that they've had the type of performance that we've seen in the pass game with anyone else other than Tannehill right now. And that's why there's optimism for Burks and Okonkwo and others who, and maybe Phillips, who are starting to either get back from injury or actually start to hit their stride a bit. The offense has really got to pick up the pace this week, Mace.
Now let's switch over to college football. The rankings came out yesterday. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC rounds out the top four. Then you got Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, Penn State, Clemson, and K-State. Now, should UT fans be outraged that Alabama is above them in the rankings? Should they have that much outrage? Or this much outrage, should I say that?
Willie's still with us, too?
No, Willie's gone. He had to catch a flight.
Okay. All right. So I was gonna get him, too, because and Caroline, I know you and Jared have hit this probably, but Mace, hear me out here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vols fans should be outraged over Bama being ahead of them based on the criteria that the College Football Playoff Committee goes by,
mm-hmm.
instead of just telling us what they're doing. And if they just explained the human element to this that I endorse, which is this Tennessee team with Joe Milton is not as good as that Alabama team with Bryce Young. If they would just say that, they can't, by the way, because mm-hmm. they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to factor that in. I don't know how you don't factor that in if you're going in a ranking system that is as fluid and fluctuates week after week, where you have Tennessee drop down to 10 after their loss to South Carolina. Meanwhile, Bama's worked their way back up because the committee values LSU, and then LSU falls in an upset, and now you've got Bama ahead of Tennessee because, well, Bama was ahead of Tennessee last week. But if they, I would do that too. If I were just giving you a ranking right now, I would tell you that Alabama's better than Tennessee. But it has nothing to do with what I've seen head-to-head. Mm-hmm. Tennessee was better until Hendon Hooker was lost for the season. And the committee knows that. So I don't blame them for ranking them where they are, Mace. Mm-hmm. I just wish they were transparent in how they're doing it, because technically, by the book, they're not supposed to rank teams based on injuries and what has happened. They're supposed to do it based on resume. The resume for Tennessee is better than Alabama. Alabama's best win is Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee's best win is Bama and LSU. So, that speaks for itself to me.
Well, what if the committee comes back and, just hypothetically speaking, they say, well, listen, we understand, you know, your disappointment that you know, your team, Tennessee, is ranked behind Alabama. But to be fair, listen, Alabama's two losses were in the last seconds and combined 4 points. And UT, yours were a combined 50 points.
That's all fine. That's all fine. But here's really what they're doing, though, Mace. This is CYA time here for the ratings, for the better game. Tennessee's still a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But hear me out. Alabama can actually make the College Football Playoff on Sunday.
Yeah.
Alabama could be in the College Football Playoff. If Tennessee is ranked ahead of Alabama today, Tennessee would be in before Bama. So that's why they ranked them where they did. It's in case we have the apple cart kicked over and Stone Cold music hits down the ramp on this coming weekend, and we see the upsets that we saw with A&M beating LSU out of nowhere. Caroline Fitton goes down to College Station and gets to witness that.
That was fun.
And, yeah, well, I'm sure it was. Yeah, I mean, the cult that is the Aggie land is unbelievable whenever they pull an upset they shouldn't win. Trust me. And then you have Ohio State, who's sitting there waiting, and who knows? I mean, we have two rematches this weekend. So and Utah's already beaten USC once, and Kansas State's getting another crack at TCU, who everyone thinks is going to lose at some point. They haven't, but everyone's been predicting them to have at least a loss. We've seen crazier things happen. People are going to be pissed off when Alabama makes the playoff.
But it should be. Listen, if you would have just beaten South Carolina, you're in.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But the reason why they're not ranked, it's not based on the South Carolina loss.
Mm-hmm.
If you go by resume, it's based on the fact that Hendon Hooker's not their quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. That's the only line of demarcation for me on why I would be able to sit here today and say, yeah, Bama's better today. It's not because of the resume. It's because of the quarterback.
But there absolutely is a part of this that has to do with South Carolina. I mean, you beat South Carolina with or without Hendon Hooker, I think you're in the college football playoff. Because I think I have learned that the committee cares less about quality wins and more about the weakness of your losses. I mean, if LSU loses to Georgia, so to speak, they don't fall to 14. But you lose to a crappy A&M team, you fall to 14. I think very much so about South Carolina.
Utah lost to Florida, but USC is ranked ahead of if USC wins out, they're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because USC has fewer losses than Utah.
Right, but you're saying quality of your losses or quality of your wins or whatever. Like, Utah, that loss to Florida is really bad now. People thought it was Florida that was the storyline. That's an awful loss by Utah, who had college football playoff aspirations. But you've got the one loss to USC coming to Utah, but yet that's why I'm saying, like, Bama is a very good team. Their two losses are two last second plays at the end of the game by a combined 4 points. Their best win is Texas. And, the committee also values Texas with at the time they were the only top 25 team by the committee's eyes with three losses when the rankings actually came out. So they still look at Texas with their three losses as valuable in some way. And South Carolina is a top 25 team now too. So based on how they measure teams and the criteria of quality wins, not if you lose, but how you lose, common opponents, head-to-head matchups. They say they don't look at style points, but it absolutely matters. And I'm here to tell you, it's no different than the March Madness brackets. If a team is banged up, they're slotted down a seed or two. And that's just human nature because of how we view teams in the here and now. And with Joe Milton, he's good, but he's still Joe Milton. He's not Hendon Hooker. And I think we know what Bryce Young means to Alabama. That, to me, that's the only thing that I can tell you right now definitively that says, yeah, Bama's better. Because I saw them play, and I saw Tennessee go toe-to-toe with them and win. So, but same thing for LSU. LSU could get in the college football playoff had they just won against Texas A&M. But the problem is they've also lost to Florida State and Tennessee.
I think that we've learned the one thing mm-hmm. that's consistent about the committee is that they're inconsistent, and these rankings are not any different.
Hey, real quick, though, just keep this in mind. This mm-hmm. is very – I am really hoping that Bama doesn't get in simply because I like this refreshing look on the playoff matchups. I was hoping that, selfishly, I wanted to see – Bama ahead of Tennessee because I want Tennessee and Clemson to play in a bowl game. That's refreshing. I don't want to see it because if Bama were behind Tennessee, it would likely be Bama and Clemson. I've already seen that. Like, I'm happy with the fact that we may have some fresh matchups for the college football playoffs. I think it's going to be more competitive, at least on the outset, I'm saying that. Here's hoping that Bama doesn't backdoor their way in because, again, I think it ends up being more of the same.
I'm totally with you. I think Clemson-less, Alabama-less, and Ohio State-less CFP is good for college football. But hey, the Titans have a big matchup against the Eagles on Sunday. Hutton, where can the people find you and Chad Withrow on Sunday?
Thank you. Yes, we are going to be live at 6th and Peabody, 4 to 6 p.m. We will have a post-game show, NFL post-game, myself, Chad Withrow. Huge thanks to Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports for making it all happen for us. And again, we will be live this Sunday recapping all things Titans, Eagles, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We'll have all the action. Join us live here on site. Both of you guys have been here at our studios, 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer, Old Smoky Moonshine. It's going to be quite the party, and it's going to be a great weekend of football.
All right, Hutton, we appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, you can tune in to Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 1025-1063, the game. This week's game will feature the Miami Dolphins against the San Francisco 49ers at 3:05 p.m. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. And hey, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. So, D-Mace, we kind of touched on this with Jonathan Hutton last segment. But all last night, when I'm scrolling through Twitter, I just hear whining and bitching and moaning and crying from Tennessee fans about where they were ranked in the college football rankings. Now, if you missed it, Georgia number one, Michigan two, TCU three. I have no problem with those rankings. Mm-hmm. USC at four, no problem with that. Ohio State five, Alabama six, over Tennessee at seven. Now, I understand Tennessee fans are upset. Mm-hmm. We beat Alabama head-to-head. We had the same record as Alabama. If you're going to use the head-to-head argument, College Football Playoff Committee, then Tennessee, in theory, should be ranked over Alabama. And I hear you, Tennessee fans. I understand. But quit the crying for two reasons. One, you lost to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. You lost to South Carolina, where at the time, South Carolina was an unranked team. Now, I know that South Carolina went 8-4. They're the 19th ranked team in the country. That loss now looks better now than it did a couple weeks ago. Alabama has lost two games, one to Tennessee and one to LSU, by a combined margin of difference of 4 points. Mm-hmm. Tennessee got embarrassed and blown out by 30 points by South Carolina. That's why Alabama is ranked over Tennessee, is because the quote-unquote, you know, quality of losses, which I just think is such a silly made-up term by the College Football Playoff Committee, but we'll roll with it. Alabama has a higher quality of losses because they lost two very close games on the road, while Tennessee got blown out by South Carolina, and they lost a good game against mm-hmm. Georgia. That's why, too. You and Hutton were mentioning it last segment of you don't have your starting quarterback. And while the College Football Playoff Committee can say all day long that they don't consider injuries, they consider it for two reasons, or two ways. One, if you lose a game early in the season because your quarterback was hurt, mm-hmm. they will consider that as giving you the benefit of the doubt. Two, they will consider if your top playmakers are injured. And when we're getting down to week 13, and when we're just 1 week away from the final College Football Playoff rankings, they have to keep that in mind because they have to think about who really is truly the four best teams in the country. And Tennessee, without Hendon Hooker, is not one of the four best teams in the country. Because if USC loses the Pac-12 championship mm-hmm. and Ohio State doesn't get in, then that sixth spot, that would be Tennessee being one of the top four teams in the country. Tennessee's not a top four team without Hendon Hooker. So while I hear you're complaining about the head-to-head and how the College Football Playoff Committee is inconsistent, they're not just inconsistent with you, babe. They're inconsistent with everybody. And you don't have your starting quarterback, and you're not a top four team without him.
Yeah. Here's sort of the – I hope there's chaos. I really do. I hope Michigan lose, because I don't like Michigan, so I hope they lose. I hope TCU loses. I hope USC loses. And honestly, I really do hope Georgia lose, not because I dislike Georgia, but because I want the chaos. Yes.
I want Georgia to lose because that means my team wins.
Exactly.
So that's why I want Georgia to
so
lose.
So I want the committee to have to go in a room after four conference losses to teams that are ranked in the top four. I want them to have to go in the room and then make a decision mm-hmm. based on every team losing. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC. That's the only reason. Other than Michigan, I don't like them. But everybody else, I just want the chaos.
But am I crazy to think that if Georgia, Michigan, and TCU all lose, they still get in?
Maybe not USC.
USC would not.
Yeah.
Georgia still gets in. Michigan still gets in. Over a two-loss USC.
Yes. And I'm not sure if TCU gets in. That might – it all depends on how the loss occurred. Was it a close loss or was it a blowout? Because obviously it would be a rematch with them and K-State.
Right.
And the first game was a high-scoring game, I believe, if I'm sure. It was a high-scoring game, and they end up beating Utah by – it was less than 7 points, I believe. But I want to see all these teams lose in the top four. Then what happens? Here's three things that I believe happen, and I'm just talking about Alabama and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you know, your quarterback's not playing anymore. He's right. Done for the year. So
that undoubtedly makes
exactly,
way worse.
You're not one of the top four teams without your quarterback. You're just not. Mm-hmm. Like Milton, think he's a good player, but he's not Hendon Hooker.
Right.
There's a reason Hendon Hooker ended up being the starting quarterback. And there's a reason why when Milton gets in, there's a lot of overthrown balls
right.
and balls in the stands and receivers not getting hit wide open because he's not the caliber quarterback that Hendon Hooker is.
I was at the Missouri game when he could have thrown that ball all the way to Nashville. Uh-huh. And it was a great ball. I mean, it was like uh-huh. a 70-yard pass that was in the hands of the receiver. But to your point, that doesn't always happen.
Exactly. So that's one of the reasons, I believe. The second reason is if it was a healthy why am I forgetting the kid's name now? Alabama's quarterback
Bryce Young.
If it was a healthy Bryce Young coming into the Tennessee Alabama game, I think many probably believe that game goes a different way. It's still close. But I think Alabama would have probably won because Bryce Young would have been in a rhythm. He wouldn't have, you know, he was out two games prior to the game, Tennessee game. Then he comes in and he still does a fabulous job,
mm-hmm.
but he was rusty early on. So I believe that's another reason. The last reason is your two losses were a combined 39 points. Their two losses were a combined 4 points. I know who they lost to. I know they lost to UT, and I know they lost to LSU. But it's not like they got beat down. Your two games that you lost, you were manhandled. We can talk about the Georgia game and how you kept it close, but you were manhandled.
Mm-hmm.
You had opportunities early on. You didn't capitalize. After that, Georgia pretty much took the game away from you. There was nothing you can – there was not a point after that first quarter, I believe, me watching the game, that I ever thought UT was going to win this game. I thought Georgia manhandled them. They beat them. They were the better team. And then you go and lose by almost 30 points to South Carolina. You can't say that about Alabama. Their two losses, Alabama was in it. And their two losses, you can't clearly say, well – LSU was the better team or UT was the better team, you know, overall.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't. It was a close enough game where you could say, hey, a play here, a play there, it could have went either way for both teams. You can't say that about a UT playing Georgia and South Carolina. You can't say if there were a play here or maybe a play there, the game would have turned out different. No, it wouldn't have. Georgia would have still won, and South Carolina still would have beat you, probably not by almost 30 points, but they would have beat you by 14. So, moving forward, you don't have your quarterback. Those two other things have happened. Why am I then going to put you above Alabama? Alabama seems to be getting healthy. Their quarterback's still playing well. Why am I then going to put you ahead of Alabama if you've lost in the fashion that you have? And then the head-to-head meeting, yes, you beat them, but it was a close game at your place.
And also, I this is a big discussion this week because it's getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama was ranked above Tennessee last week, too.
Yeah.
And Alabama and Tennessee both won their games handedly this past week. So why would they jump Tennessee over Alabama? I know that the South Carolina loss looks a lot better now that South Carolina beat Clemson. But still, I mean, both of those teams won those games, so you're not going to jump one over the other.
But, Carol, I could see if they lost to South Carolina by 3 points.
Super close touchdown. Loss. Yeah. Super competitive
game. But they got blew out.
Yeah. And and I always go back to you because if Hendon Hooker never got hurt, we could have a serious back and forth argument about Alabama and Tennessee, who should be over the other. We could have a real legitimate argument about that. But I go back to, if you don't have Hendon Hooker, that's what pushes Alabama over Tennessee, in my opinion. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your calls and your texts on that. Plus, there's another team that was ranked above Alabama that I think that we can discuss and decipher a little bit more about where the committee's priorities really lie. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
Let's see who's number seven. It is Tennessee. Now, what this means is that Tennessee is behind Alabama, who they beat, which is infuriating to Volunteer fans, I'm sure. But there's also the issue that they don't have their starting quarterback anymore with Hendon Hooker being injured.
And I think that is exactly what has happened here. Hendon Hooker is no longer there. And so their resume, as strong as it is, in a terrific season they had, without Hendon Hooker, do you think they do the same thing with that resume? I don't think they do. But I understand why they're ranked behind Bama in this situation.
I don't think they do either, but we did see them play. So I think you could say we saw them go head-to-head. We saw Tennessee beat them. So I wouldn't be upset if Tennessee was ahead of them, honestly, not in the slightest bit.
All right, Tennessee listed at number seven, ranked number seven in the country behind Alabama at six. And ESPN's up right now, and Matt Berry is kind of going through all of the playoff scenarios, each team's chance to get into the playoff. Alabama currently has a 14% chance to get in the playoff, and D-Mace, that just does not sit right with me. The fact that Alabama has a higher chance to get into the playoff than makes me comfortable. And to be honest with you, I don't think that they're going to make it into the playoff, but I have to think that the College Football Playoff Committee wants so badly for USC to lose the Pac-12 championship and for Alabama to somehow find their way to sneak into the playoff. I think the committee would love that.
The committee want their job to be easy.
Yes.
And, you know, what makes their – well, honestly, what makes their job easy is everybody wins. So then they can keep status quo. But in the future, what makes their job easier is if they add more teams to the playoff. Because then Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, Penn State, Clemson, K-State gets in. All the top 10 teams you get in. And if they go 12, then maybe we can start deciding based upon, you know, after number 10, who we're going to put in the playoffs. And there might be some arguments there. But I go back to, do I think Alabama's, and you do I think Alabama and UT are one of the top, let's just say, 8 teams? Yeah, I do. Do I believe that Tennessee or Alabama is one of the top 4 teams based on, you know, what has transpired within the last couple of weeks? No, I don't. I don't.
And that's what frustrates me about a lot of the playoff committee criteria is you think so much about, you know, strength of schedule and number of losses. If you really take a step back, are those really the 4 best teams in the country? To be honest with you, I don't think that TCU is a better team than Ohio State or Alabama or Tennessee. But just based off of the criteria, they're going to be in the top 4. I know you have to be consistent, and if it's an undefeated conference champion, they're going to get in.
Well,
but they're not one of the top teams in the country. They're just not.
Well, here's what's going to be sort of the dilemma here is if TCU loses, and let's say everybody else wins, but TCU loses, how far does TCU drop? Say if it's a close loss to K-State. They've already beat K-State this season. What was the score? Let me see the score. Oh, the score was 38-28. Yeah. So they beat K-State by 10 points. I wonder where, and it was at TCU, so yeah. They didn't play at K-State, they were at home. So you, what, the home team in that situation gets, what, 3-4 points?
Somewhere around there. So they beat them by, you know, including the home field advantage,
exactly.
About a touchdown.
Exactly. So, which was probably, you know, right. But if TCU then ends up losing in the championship game, you know, to K-State, mm-hmm. a rematch, how far do they fall down? That would be the question. Will they fall down far enough that either Ohio State or Alabama gets in? Because if only one team loses, I don't think UT gets in based upon where they're ranked now. Yeah, they can't.
Let's say if TCU loses, Georgia, Michigan, and USC win, it'll be Georgia, Michigan, USC, Ohio State.
Yeah, but then USC fans would be like, listen, we lost in our championship game.
Well, that's assuming if USC wins.
Yeah, if USC wins.
If USC loses, I don't think there's a place for USC.
No, they're not, because it's two losses.
Two losses. But then a two-loss Alabama team would get in over a two-loss USC team that won their division.
Yeah, that's where the chaos comes in.
Yeah.
You know, but TCU, I think whether they lose or win, I think they should be in. Will they be in if they lose? I don't know.
I think Georgia and Michigan, if either of those teams
lose, I think
lose,
they're still in.
They're in.
Yeah, I think
TCU
they're still
and
in.
USC is where it gets a little bit fringy. Mm-hmm. I still tend to believe that if TCU loses the conference championship, they still get in at four.
But here's the question. Because we've seen what the committee has already did. When UT lost, they dropped, what, three, four spots, somewhere around there?
Five. They went from five to ten.
When they lost versus Georgia.
Lost to Georgia.
I think it was three spots.
They dropped from one to five.
Five, okay.
Yes.
So they dropped three spots.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Ohio State lose, they drop, what, three spots. They went from
two to five.
Two to five. So they dropped three spots. So if TCU loses, based upon what the committee has done prior to them, they would fall down to number six, which means Alabama gets in. Well, which means Ohio State gets in, and Alabama replaces Ohio State at six. Now, if USC loses, mm-hmm. based upon the what the committee has already done, USC drops three spaces. So you got TCU and USC, based upon what the committee has already done, both of them will drop three spots, which would put TCU at six, and USC at seven. So then Alabama gets in, and Tennessee, because they lost, and I think the fashion they lost, and their quarterback is not healthy, they missed the playoff based on those two reasons. Ohio State and Alabama is back in. Regardless of how we like it or dislike it, Ohio State and Alabama is back in the national championship if TCU and USC lose. And I'm only basing that based on what the committee has already done and what they've shown.
So essentially you have three of the same four teams that you had last
year. Absolutely.
And after this wild, weird, and crazy year of college football, uh-huh. it's Groundhog Day all over
again. It's the same old culprits in the college football championship.
I mean, I said this to Hutton, and I'll reiterate it, is I think it is so good for college football mm-hmm. that TCU and USC could be in the playoff. I think that's a good thing. And mm-hmm. I think it proves to all other teams not named Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson that you have a shot at a championship. And it's not just going to be the same teams competing all over again. I think it's refreshing. And I think that's what fans want. Mm-hmm. I don't think that a 12-team playoff is going to kind of scratch that itch that all college football fans have if they're a fan of a team of not Ohio State, Alabama, mm-hmm. or Clemson. That's not going to accomplish what fans want. But having teams represented that aren't traditionally represented, mm-hmm. like USC back in the mix, it's good for college football mm-hmm. that USC is good again. TCU getting into the playoff, that's good for college football. But if you have Ohio State and Alabama, which is there's a legitimate possibility that that could happen, I think that's just such a slap in the face to some of these programs that aren't, you know, traditional players for the college football championship. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Now, while we're on the topic of college football, is there a certain team that's contending for a championship that could resemble another team in Nashville? We'll get into that coming up next. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.